Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. Coming up at 10 o'clock, we're going to talk a little bit about the championship parade. It's coming your way in about 40 minutes. Hot take, maybe not a hot take, that we're going to lay out there at 10 o'clock. We're going to get Michael Markoch in here in 10:20 for Change Your Mind, Heroes and Villains, a lot of good stuff. But we started the day talking about Guardians, and I do want to continue to talk about them. In a time where it would be easy to panic, in a time where this team obviously is missing some of their best players at the plate, the team is trying to find a way to survive. And there are a lot of things to discuss around it and to help us out. We head out to the Wise Heart Right, We Make It Right, Kyle Wright Hotline, and find his work over on Sports Illustrated. It is Cade Krakus joining us now. Cade, what's going on?
Jake, how we doing? Good to talk to you, and obviously a great day because the Guardians got a W earlier.
It is a good day. We do like to see the win. You and I were supposed to talk about a week ago. Schedule's been ever-changing. I appreciate you sticking with us throughout the process. We get here about a week later, so it is nice to talk to you. I'm excited.
Oh, it's going to be a great time. I'm excited to talk some guards, man. It's a good team. It's a fun year, and hey, how can you be upset with so many internal moves, so many prospects coming up? It just keeps things interesting.
It definitely does. I want to start a little bit bigger picture. We'll dive into a little more of the nitty-gritty. We'll talk about some individual guys. But overall, obviously, a lot of injuries happening. You're now down on the IL. Jose Ramirez, Angel Martinez, Chase DeLauder, all of them going to be out for some period of time, two 10-day ILs. Obviously, Jose 5 to 7 months. What should this team's goal be while they await the return of a healthy Jose Ramirez?
Yeah, I think the goal right now is to establish what's next. And I think that's the obvious answer here. But, Jake, you take a look at what's been going on with this organization. They've been kind of searching for that next group of newcomers, that next group that can somewhat get the torch passed from Jose Ramirez to themselves. I think we've seen it here with Chase DeLauder having a pretty strong campaign, Angel Martinez, Travis Bazzana. And then you kind of look to the pitching staff as well. You're kind of hoping for some comfortability, some reliability, because as we've seen here in this Milwaukee series, Jake, I mean, they're not scoring a lot of runs at the plate. But if this pitching staff can hold the opposition to anywhere from 1 to 2, 3, 4 runs, I mean, you're sitting pretty. So I think that with Jose Ramirez out, what you're looking for is some stability from the pitching staff and some of these young guys to step up and show, hey, we're the next group that can lead this team.
You talk about the pitching staff. I want to ask you about them. Where is your comfortability with the starting pitching staff right now? Because it feels like, you know, we've gotten a little bit more of a surge from Slade Ciccone as of late, but then at the same time, like, Gavin hasn't had necessarily his best stuff day in and day out. Tanner's obviously, they've been better as of late, but up and down. It feels like everybody's kind of just walking the line of either started rough, got better, or started, you know, the opposite way around. I don't remember which way I went, but you get where I'm going.
Yeah, to be honest with you, you put it perfectly though, Jake. It's kind of you're walking this line of, one day you're feeling, wow, this is really good. The next day you're going, oh, wow, this is not that good. And so I think with this pitching staff right now, I think you have to be patient. I think that's the perfect way to put it right now because, and I understand patience is a tough thing to have when you want to be contending, but you look at this group, it's a very young core. Like, we even think of Slade sometimes as a guy who maybe is not that young, but he's only 26 years old. And the rest of this group is 26 or under. I mean, maybe you'll get a 27-year-old in there. But this is a team and a group of guys who, although their ERAs might be shooting up here and there, it's primarily due to that home run ball. I mean, we talk about Tanner's home run giving up ability. He's at 15 home runs allowed this campaign. But let me tell you this. You know, he's also at 15, Gavin Williams. So although he's given a lot of heat the way of Tanner this campaign, Gavin's just alongside of him with some inconsistencies. However, you look at, you know, three guys right there, Gavin, Parker, and Tanner. All of their whips show that they're about that 1.1 mark, which shows, I mean, they're not allowing too much on the base paths, which is a positive sign. So as long as they can start to dwindle down that hard hit percentile, I mean, I'm pretty confident with where they can be in, let's say, the end of the campaign or even a year's time. Like, I know we're trying to be patient with some youngsters here, but we could be in a lot worse situation with this starting rotation. And I feel the more they get settled, the better off we're going to be long term.
Obviously, we mentioned at the start, they get a win today. First win since Jose Ramirez went down. They salvaged not getting swept by the Brewers. Just in terms of, I mean, mentality in that clubhouse, getting a positive under the belt, how far did the win go today?
Yeah, that's big. And I think it was even said in the post-game press conference by a lot of different individuals, but even Travis Bazzana said it post-game. He said, You know, this is the moment of the year where we have to realize we have to step up. We have to stay composed. Like, there's guys going down. Daniel Schneeman said it yesterday. But, like, there's guys going down, Jake, and you can't, as a team, start to collapse. You can't falter. You can't fall to the wayside and say, oh, woe is us. Oh, we have injuries and we can't perform. And they've all shown that, hey, like, we just have to keep playing our game. And Schneeman showed it yesterday with a grand slam. Bazzano showed it today with a home run. That, you know, you have to just go to the plate and act like nothing else is going on. Whether you're down six runs, whether you're down a run, whether you're down three players that make such a difference in that lineup, or whether the pitching staff is frustrated. You have to focus on the ball that's coming your way and the bat in your hand. And Bazzano showed it. Fry showed it. Manzardo showed it. The guys came up big today. And although it wasn't a series that you expected them to win because, I mean, the Brewers are 20 games above 500. I mean, this is a game that this is a series you go into and you just at least want to see some competitiveness. And to be honest, although the results didn't necessarily go on our side every single day, the Guardians show that they can at least hang in there.
Kate, I mean, I think you've been relatively positive throughout the beginning of this, and now, no way am I saying you're wrong, but I would say that I think the fan base probably feels a little bit different of way with the so many guys going down. Easy for panic to set in. For you personally, I mean, how far are we from panic setting in with this team and where they're at?
I think I'd say you take a look, and I said this earlier this week on one of my talk shows. I talked about how you look at the week as a whole. Obviously, you're going up against a really strong Brewers team that, like I mentioned, is roughly 20 games above 500. So no matter what, even if you had a healthy Jose Ramirez, you had a healthy Angel Martinez, you had a healthy Chase DeLauder, and let's say you even had Eric Sabrowski out of the bullpen, you go into this and you're at least wanting a game out of it because the Milwaukee Brewers have been phenomenal to start the year. However, you turn the page and you look to this weekend where you'll take on the Houston Astros on the road, a very streaky team who at the plate's been up and down. The pitching staff has been, you know, better for worse. And I think after this weekend, Jake, is when I would say whether or not panic should start to settle in. If you get swept this weekend, oh, there's no doubt. I'm gonna be waking up Monday morning scratching my head in some discomfort. But you get at least a game or two out there in Houston, I'm fine with that because, again, we go back to, Jake, I feel like you can't really, you know, jump ship and start to be too upset about what's going on until these guys can settle in, because we're seeing the Khalil Watsons being called up. We're seeing Petey Halpin return to this squad. We're seeing, you know, Stewart fail trial try to get his go about here in the coming weeks if he gets brought back. I mean, like, this is a team right now, Jake, that you look at and you're just seeing so many moving parts, and that to me can't signal any sort of concern yet because a lot of these guys are young. Like, Watson's only 23 years old. And to me, you can't put too much pressure on them to go out there and perform at the highest level every day when you don't have everyone else on roster right now healthy.
And again, Kate Crack is with us here on the hotline. You brought up Khalil Watson. I wanted to ask you, he's number 12 prospect according to Pipeline. So he's sitting there well within the top 30. He obviously didn't have a great showing today. Didn't get a hit on the board, his first of his major league career. But is he somebody that you look at and say he's worth being excited for Guardians fans?
Yeah, and I mentioned this morning in one of my articles on Sports Illustrated. I talked about it a little bit, Jake, how he's kind of a guy who intrigues me a lot in the sense that his hard hit percentile in AAA was in the near great category. He was somebody up there who was hitting the ball really, really hard. However, you have to be cautious with him because like we saw today, he can strike out a lot. I think he had somewhat along the lines of 71 strikeouts to 37 walks across roughly 60 games. And that's okay, especially when you're hitting the ball hard. However, it's that translation to the major league level is where you have to evaluate how he actually is as a player. Because if he comes up to the big leagues and he's striking out an awful lot, but he's not hitting the ball hard, then you're concerned. However, it's like we've seen with Manzardo and some of these power hitters that slot into that DH spot. If you're striking out a lot, but you're knocking that ball over the fence, you're going to be happy with the result. So I'm curious to see how Khalil Watson does in the coming days as he gets more reps. But with what we saw today, at least on the fielding side of things as well, like that's a positive, that diving play he had at the end of the second inning. So, yes, can you be a little bit on the hesitant side of two strikeouts and an 0-for-4 performance? No doubt. But I feel like we can't really jump to conclusions just yet because he's got a lot more to offer here in the coming games.
Talk to me about the outfield in general. Obviously, it's in a rough spot right now with Angel and Chase being down. But I look across this group, and I start to get a little concerned that I could see an outfield lineup, a little out of position. But Stuart Fairchild, Stephen Kwan, Petey Halpin, it just seems like there's a severe lack of power right now with all the guys down and who they have up. I mean, should that be something that the Guardians are paying more attention to right now?
No doubt. I would circle with Redding two things on this roster, and that's one, the bullpen, and two, the outfield. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, Jake, you look at this group, and if you had, and I said this actually with Anthony about 2 weeks ago here on 92.3 The Fan, and I said, you know, if you had a strong performance from Stephen Kwan, okay, let's see his OPS is sitting above 700. This conversation's much different. But when you have a struggling Stephen Kwan and a bunch of youngsters trying to establish themselves, it creates a really sticky situation for the coaching staff because they're trying to get Kwan to find form. They're trying to get these youngsters to find form. And along the way as well, not a lot of them have a lot of power behind that bat. And we might have seen Chase DeLauter smack, what was it, 6 home runs in the first few games of the campaign. He had 2 in his first game. I mean, he was out there literally destroying the baseball, but since then has cooled off dramatically. And then you have guys like Stephen Kwan who can't really hit with power. Khalil Watson, who's still young and trying to establish that. Halpin and Fairchild, who are known for their speed, not their power. And then Daniel Schneeman, who might be the greatest super utility known to mankind, who randomly steps up in the biggest moments. But along the way through those guys, Jake, there's no power. So yes, I would say be concerned about that for now. Now, can Watson bring that? That's the question. But at this deadline, if I'm Cleveland, I'm at least exploring my options.
I mean, we talk about the deadline. Obviously, where this team was a couple of weeks ago, their current situation has changed. For you, from where they were to where they are now, does the approach at the deadline shift at all?
No, and I've answered that question a lot recently, and I think that you can't, because no matter where you stand, and I understand the discussion surrounding, does Jose Ramirez's injury cause you to now sit put at the deadline? I think the answer, no matter what, is no, because either way, Jose Ramirez, and okay, I'm going to preface this by saying Jose Ramirez is a great player, and he's been great for the last 13 years here with the organization. But Jose Ramirez has had a down year, and that's just known to everybody. And yes, his WAR sits above 2, and yes, the argument of his value on the field is still very high. But Jose Ramirez hasn't played like Jose Ramirez in years past. This team knows that, and Chris Antonetti shared in a press conference right about 2-3 weeks ago now at this point, Jake, that Jose Ramirez isn't having a Jose Ramirez season. So they know they need to go out and add some more talent to this roster. They know they've got to make some additions around him, whether it's internally or externally. So I don't think a Jose Ramirez injury really affects their approach. However, what I will say, Jake, is that a Jose Ramirez, Angel Martinez, and Chase DeLauter, all three of those injuries, certainly does affect it. Because now you have to start establishing, okay, these youngsters coming up, Do we have a chance to move them in a move that gets us somebody else better long term? But when Martinez, Ramirez, and DeLauter come back, where do they fit in? And to me, maybe that's the bigger question of all three of those guys being injured rather than it is Ramirez.
And again, Kate Crack is with us here for a few more minutes on the hotline. Zooming out then, big picture on this entire thing. By the end of the year, obviously, you're going to get Jose back towards the end of it. Guys should be, hopefully healthy. The Guardians can finish as what place team inside of the American League?
That's a great question. I'm going to say top three for sure. I think in the Central, I think you're going number one. I think the White Sox are a team that's having a really good run right now, but I don't know if they can, you know, hold on to it. Same with Tampa Bay. They've had a great campaign. I think they'll hold on to it slightly. I mean, I think you're looking at the top three spots by the end of the campaign. I'm going to go the Yankees, Rays, and Guardians in that order. And then from there, everyone else falls in line. It, for Cleveland, it really does come down to making maybe a move or two at this deadline. And I know that we've talked about it. Like, I don't think that you can sit put here, even if those guys are still injured. Those guys maybe have a prolonged rehabilitation period. You know, Jake, if you really want to stay competitive and build for the future around the guys right now that you have in Bezzana, in Espino, in, you know, the DeLauters and the Sobrowskis and so on and so forth, this roster, I think they've only got 5 guys over the age of 30 on the 40-man. I mean, that's impressive. So if you really want to build to the future, you've got to make some moves here. So I'm going to say that 3 spot in the American League, I'm comfortable saying.
I mean, we talked about a little bit on the power side and the outfield bats. You also said in red ink, you circle the bullpen. If they're going to make an addition to this bullpen, what is it that you're kind of specifically looking for?
I'm looking for a guy who can be fluid, a guy who can do a lot of different things. And I'm looking at Toronto Blue Jays, 26-year-old right-handed pitcher, Braden Fisher. I mean, on the year, he has been remarkable. He's sitting at about a 2 ERA. He's somebody, too, who I'm going to put on your map here, Jake, and I talked about it with Anthony a couple weeks back, but Fisher's a guy who not only can start in open games, but he can also finish games. He's got a couple starts under his belt this year. He's got a couple saves as well, and he's a guy who Toronto's used really well. However, they have so much talent in that bullpen where they might be moving guys at the deadline, and they're also having a down year compared to the year they had last year where they were competing in the World Series all the way up to Game 7. So I think Braden Fisher's a guy I want. I want a right-handed guy who can go out there and be a dynamic presence, kind of like Espino in the sense where I feel like Espino could go out there and open a contest if need be. But I want somebody who isn't just going to be that eighth or ninth inning guy who can light things up, because I think you have it in Espino and Smith right now. But I want someone who's fluid, and Fisher brings that. He's got a career ERA sitting at about a 2.5 right now. He can open, he can close, he can do just about anything you ask of him. That's what Cleveland's bullpen needs right now.
Okay, we got about 45 seconds. I want to know, in your opinion, most deserving guardian of an all-star selection this year?
Brian Rocchio, no question. It's a great question, but it's one that to me is no question. He's had a phenomenal campaign at the plate. He's stepped into various roles. He's had some phenomenal plays defensively. And he's in a position, I know it might be a little bit biased, but he's in a position to pass the torch from Ramirez to himself. I'm thinking Brian Rocchio all the way through.
I love to hear it. Cade, you gave us a ton to react to. I appreciate you setting aside the time, working through some of the rescheduling stuff. And as the Guardian season pushes on, hopefully we get to talk again sometime here soon.
Sounds great, Jake. Thanks for having me, man.
Yep, absolutely. Cade Crack is Sports Illustrated joining us on the Wise Heart Right, We Make It Right. Call Kyle Wright hotline, react to what he had to say, and should panic be setting in for the Guardians? That's coming your way in 5 minutes right here on The Fan.